Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM presents Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
Welcome to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez. Hope you're having a good day if it's Thursday, and wish you a good day if it's the repeat program on Friday. And since now you have access to the recordings on my webpage, Reflections by Jorge Gonzalez, and podcasts with the same title. Well, you know, whatever you're doing at that given moment, I hope you've are benefiting and have had a good day and are progressing, which is the goal in life, right? Okay. I like these sayings that come out in Nuevo Día. And the 8th of July, there's one by Hannah Arendt, historian and philosopher. Don't know her. La educación que no cultiva la capacidad de pensar es una amenaza para la libertad. An education that does not cultivate the capacity to think is a danger to our liberty. With the 250th anniversary of the United States and with everything that we do in the educational world, that's pretty deep stuff. As I, number of occasions, I sort of have this area which I call objective testing and basically objective learning, where you give facts and information to the students and you test them to see whether they memorized and absorbed what you told them, multiple choice, true and false, and really doesn't require much thinking. It's what I went through for 8 years in grammar school in Saranac Lake, New York. My good school, St. Bernard's, met some really good people. I guess I developed okay, although I suffered later on. But basically, we spent a lot of time and effort in order to do well on what was called the New York State Regents Exam and the Ogdensburg Diocese's religious tests. And so we were there to try to ace those, learn how to take those tests and learn the facts and data that we needed to regurgitate to do well in those exams. So won't get into that results of that as I went through education, but at this moment. But later on, I'm going to cover a really interesting article on getting out of our comfort zone. And has a little lot to do with the educational system, you know, whether it's regurgitation and memorization, or whether it's forcing you to think and to try to create and analyze and get beyond the your normal things that are expected to be doing. So, well, it does have it, but with respect to education. There's an area that I've been harping on forever, and good news. I love it when I can give good news, and it's that the bilingual education in the public schools has been increasing and has gone from 36 schools to 119, and is impacting 115,000 students. So, you know, it's probably about a third. And it's a slow process. This doesn't happen, you know, 1 year. It's got to be instrumented over a period of years. But it's doing well. And interesting, for example, and it says that in Lares, George Washington Elementary School, 86% of the community, the parents and the teachers and all members are in favor of bilingual education, and so, you know, it is. I can't find the article, but there was an article of a school that was rescued, a Catholic school, and converted into a private school, very small group of of students. I think they have like on all the grades from pre-kinder through eighth grade, something like 90 students. So it's like 90 per class. And among the things besides values and a good education, the community who rescued the school in a matter of months, was able to get the certification as a school and the certification by the Department of Education, and one of the interesting things it says is that they want to implement bilingual, so that and bilingual of course means not just English, it means also strengthening Spanish. And in the analysis of this development, which is an article on the 3rd of July in El Nuevo Día, it was not a surprise that this all started in Aguada, Eladio Tirado López, bilingual high school in Aguada. And I say it's not surprising because I'll never forget I had a good client, Smart Modular Technologies. Started out in the Arecibo area and then grew and moved its operations to Aguada. And I remember visiting the factory, the manufacturing site, and I was asking, I've always been curious as to, the public education and educational system, and I was asking where they, the general manager and the person I deal with who was in finance, where do their children and the children of the persons in the particular company, where did they go? And all of them said it to the public school, and I said it was kind of surprising because they're good earners. You would think they go to the religious private schools or other private schools. But it turned out that the community was really behind the school system. The head of the principal of the public school was I think, as I recall, was the brother of the general manager, and the finance person had somebody that was also a teacher there. So there's an integration in the town of Aguada of the community, the industry and commerce and all within the public school system, which is what's essential, which happens in the U.S. and just does not happen enough in Puerto Rico. So, good news, really necessary, in this educational system, just the forcing students to go into two languages, and I think we call in Puerto Rico English la difícil, the difficult one. So forcing the students to go into two languages is really, make forcing them to go out of the comfort zone and not just asking them to on this objective teaching and objective testing. There's a school. There's 16 specialized schools in languages, and of those, they have two, three languages, and 90% of the classes are in English. So those are very specialized. And as we know, the elite schools in Puerto Rico, in the private school system in Puerto Rico, and there's some elite schools in the public school system that are doing really well. But the elite ones in the private school are basically primarily English teaching, and they have their classes and the people come out the different levels of Spanish. Sometimes I criticize that Spanish is relegated not to the level it should be, but in any case, English is absolutely critical for development in this world in all regards. And so, good news, the bilingual developments in Puerto Rico within the capacity to make sure that we teach to think, and that is really important for our well-being personally and for the well-being of our Puerto Rico. Okay, so I'm going to then move to a development in the sporting world that it became really a chisme, you know, gossip. And when my wife Pinky starts talking about something that happens in the athletic world, well, we know it's gone beyond just the sports. And it had to do with the U.S. soccer team that lost, most of you by now, lost, you know, very, very badly to Belgium. And the gossip or the almost the novel, you know, involved three people really, and they have kind of names that are hard to believe, you know. Of course, Trump was in this thing, and you know the Trump card, which we joked about the other day. That's in an article. This forward for the U.S. soccer team, Follorin, F-O-L-R-I-N, Follorin Balogun, you know, so it's the best striker in the U.S. team, Balogun. So you have Trump, you have Balogun, and then the head of FIFA, Infantino, you know, Italian name, I think. So I think Gianca, I don't remember his name, but his name and first name is also, you know, Italian, as I recall. So anyway, what happened here is that there was a red card against Balogun for a penalty. This is reviewed with two or three people, and that confirm what the referee is about to do. And with the red card, you know, you have to leave the game, and you can't play the next game, and supposedly, the FIFA has in its constitution not to be involved with politics, but Infantino and FIFA has gotten involved with politics. They you may recall Infantino and FIFA awarded Trump a peace prize and a golden trophy and recognized him for that, which he of course appreciated. Infantino also was willing to change the draw as to who's going to play against who. It was going to be in Las Vegas, and Trump requested it be moved to Washington, D.C., to what was the Trump-Kennedy Center, and that the name Trump was eliminated. And then with this penalty, Trump called Infantino and asked him to review the thing that he thought was unfair. And frankly, I think a lot of people would agree that it was unfair. Yeah, but it's part of this sport. There's a number of situations, as I've been watching a lot of the games, where it's very subjective as to whether there's a penalty or not. And you know, for example, when the U.S. Belgium game, the best player, because Balogun has done the best, but the one that was the most, the star, Pulisic, was also should have been a penalty. The person stepped in front of his toe, and when he was just about to strike the ball, but nothing was called. So it's goes back and forth, and with referees, I was saying, in a good sport, you gave a little bit of the number of attributes, and I came at the end and said, you have to have luck, and especially when there's a referee and making subjective calls and can change the whole game. But the chisme was that Trump intervened, and Infantino had this thing reconsidered, and at the last moment, there was an appeal by Belgium. The Balogun was reinstated and played. And what happens? And this is the thought that I'm convinced. They say sometimes some of them said that it has did something for Belgium to raise their their spirits and their morale and all to play much better. And I think it had an unsteadying effect on the U.S. team. But the fact is that the U.S. team played just awfully. Very little could you say that was good. Even the one score they lost 4-1. Even the one score that the U.S. had was really not a great shot. It was a free kick, and they have the wall, and it went over the wall, and the goalie was going to the goalkeeper was going to catch it, but it went off. It got deflected by the Belgium player. And that deflection, not a major one, but a slight deflection, well, you know, allowed the ball to go into the net, into the goal. So it was just the most ridiculous play by the U.S. goalie. Basically, gave the ball to the Belgium player on I think it was the third goal that really put the game out of. Out of reach for the U.S., so it was just a disaster from the beginning. There was no energy. There was no really very few good shots, and it was a disaster. And Belgium played errorless and with tremendous energy, and basically, you know, the Trump getting into this thing and having this thing. Even when it was an unfair decision to have politics get into it, just ruined that game. I think that's my opinion. Trump got into the Knicks. The Knicks had a fantastic series. The only game the Knicks lost was when Trump went and visited. Politicians should just stay out of sports. They, you know, quite often. When they do go to the sports, they get booed and they create all kinds of difficulties. So, you know, it. But the message for me is when these rules, whether you feel it was unfair or not, they have to be followed. And when there's not, it's kind of like karma. Well, you know. The results end up not being all that good, which is what happened here. A sad ending for the U.S. and it was very depressing. And Belgium, in fact, in their probably went off. I think they've gone overboard. They have, Trump has this motion with his arms and his hips, and they all were kind of, you know, doing that in the dressing room. So anyway, that's the gossip, the thing, and we'll go back and a couple of things more that happened in sports, and we'll come back right after the pause. This is Jorge Gonzalez, Reflections.